This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. At some point before the show is over, we're hoping to talk with Najee Marshall, perhaps after kind of 12:40. So keep your ears tuned in for that. But want to talk some Cowboys here. I know that we haven't talked a ton of Cowboys just because they've been coming off the bye. Obviously, it's been a up and down, strugglesome season thus far. But I wanted to get y'all's thought. I'm going to go with that. I want to get y'all's thoughts on the biggest storylines of the Cowboys season thus far. What do you think?
Dude, strugglesome is a word.
Hell yeah.
The synonyms for it, even though you had a bad synonym joke.
Drink coffee or something?
Nope.
Challenging and difficult to manage. Good job, dude.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you even know it was a word?
No.
Okay. You just said it.
Yeah.
You're like,
I wish I could tell you that.
I think number one is Jerry losing it last Tuesday on the radio and it becoming the biggest story of the Cowboys season.
Okay.
Because they haven't been good.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but I think the biggest story so far, seven weeks since you have the bye, is the Jerry Jones interview last Tuesday on The Fan.
Believe it or not, that is actually part of the number one answer per the Dallas Morning News. All in backfires. And it says, Jerry and Stephen Jones' fingerprints have been all over Dallas' stumbles through the first six games of this season. Jones' all-in offseason mantra has completely backfired, and it's gotten to the point that the Cowboys owner has lashed out and doubled down with the media covering the team. Okay. This is not me saying that. This is the Dallas Morning News saying that is part of the number one story.
I mean, I have other ones, but I'll let Corey guess because he's a guesser.
Run defense.
The run defense is number five on the list, and it encapsulates the bigger issue as well as just injuries across the board on defense. But run defense, obviously, the struggles are a part of that.
Go with the run again.
you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know. The Rico, Ezekiel Elliott, Thunder and Lightning combo.
I'm with you. But the fact that that is not
Thunder
in
Dan and Lightning McQueen,
the Morning News' top five, shows how troublesome at times this season has been.
The CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott signings.
Ooh, actually, no. I really thought you were going to get it there.
Oh.
It's the Dak and CeeDee misconnection that they think is one
of
the top five.
I feel like that kind of goes together.
Okay.
At least their body language is good on the sideline.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
No,
well, their body language is
wrong. CeeDee Lamb told Dak, throw a jump ball next time. I got you.
Yeah.
And Dak looked straight at the ground and didn't say anything to him because he was focused.
So these five issues we talked about, all in backfires, Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat. I feel like that has been prevalent for a couple of years. The silver lining of this team being Brandon Aubrey. I mean, he has been incredible this year in an otherwise.
I wish you would stop smiling like that when you say his name. It's frustrating. The kicker is the biggest silver lining.
I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities Sunday night.
Unfortunately, I do too.
You seem to be realistic. Like, you know what? We love Brandon Aubrey.
He's awesome.
He hopped on the show. He was great with us. It's just that you look like it's like, yeah, boy.
Look,
Brandon Aubrey.
They need love and attention because in training camp,
that's it.
Handlers come by with every single Cowboys guest that we get in the tent in Oxnard. But when they dropped off the kicker and the long snapper, they just showed up and the handler left. And they, essentially, it kind of felt like they're like, hey, if you guys want to keep them for the rest of the show, this is at like noon, then have at it. Everybody else, it's very like, you have 8 minutes. You have 13. You have one. And there's somebody standing right there.
We could have talked to them for two hours.
We had them on for like 20 minutes, and they were fine. They're in no rush to take off.
Go, and they're like, I mean, no, we're cool.
Yeah.
Like, all right, then.
We're good. Now, you mentioned the Dak and CeeDee misconnection in the contracts. Does the lateness of those contracts getting done make that lack of connection all the more frustrating or predictable, maybe?
I mean, I feel like it should be kind of predictable. It is frustrating, though, because what we were told during the entire holdout for Lamb was, you know, they worked together in the off season. They put in so much time at Dak's backyard.
Right.
Everything's good. We have no concerns there at all.
Right.
So yeah, it is frustrating that I mean, that's what you're hanging your hat on for the next 5 years for this team, is that those two look like they did last year together. And right now they, you know, because of defenses have caught on. Mike Tomlin admitted a couple of years ago they didn't know who CeeDee Lamb was. And everybody's like, there's no other option. What was the biggest problem in the playoff game against San Francisco? When Tony Pollard went down, it was CeeDee Lamb, and that's it.
Yeah.
And now nothing's changed. It's CeeDee Lamb, and that's it. And that's why that's frustrating. Okay. Zeke was there for that game, Mike. He was the center. Remember?
No, that was. Oh, that is true. Yeah. That was a good game.
That again, like that was whenever they were like, hey, look, man, we only have one option when Tony Pollard goes down. And now they don't have any other options right now.
Oh, well.
Now, in terms of potentially improving, instead of, oh, well, let's see if we can improve any of this. You guys asked about this. Do you think it's more likely you can improve the run offense or defense? Assuming neither is not an acceptable answer.
Why not try Mozzie at running back?
Ooh, and try.
I mean, you're taking
Zeke at defensive tackle.
Yeah, I think if you flip flop their positions, you might have a chance.
He played center once. Why can't he play the other side of the ball?
Yeah,
Corey, do you have any other thoughts?
I mean, when Zeke runs in the middle, usually he takes two or three guys with him. Like they all go down. So now you just tell him, act like you're running the ball from the defensive tackle position and take out the guard and center.
At times, we've seen the defensive run stopping be better. Detroit, look, man, you were without your best linebackers. You're without a lot on that defense. I think that the defensive line part can be better. I'm still kind of curious. Mike Zimmer said right before the break, he was saying, I'm used to having really good teams, and I still want to know what he meant by that. Did he mean, because it was, I think it was a John Machota piece, did he mean I'm used to having better talent than the crap I'm having to deal with right now? Or did he mean I'm used to having people already being good enough and me not having to grow them and I'm having to grow some of these guys? So I do think that there's a better chance of that, because right now the offensive line is struggling on a variety of places.
Yeah.
And Zach Martin being the biggest surprise of it all. The drop-off's been that drastic for him. And I don't think you have the talent behind that offensive line to go the place that it needs to go.
And that's an interesting point, because look, Mickey and I don't totally agree about the run game. And I think even if the holes are created and then the space is made, we do not have the backs to take advantage of it. But he does have a valid point when talking about you have to create more time before contact, before that first contact.
Absolutely. And I guess that's where he's like, once you've done that, then I can judge whether or not the running back is good enough. Does that make sense? So I can sit with that. I can accept that a little bit too.
Any chance?
Which one did you pick, Kevin?
I think it's the run offense, because, like, to Corey's point, players come back, or at least like Tank and Micah come back, that gives you maybe another look at it. Overshown continues to get better. I know even though he's at the second level, that can have an impact in your run.
Kendricks is my biggest concern.
Yes. But for the Cowboys on the offensive line, I guess I'm stuck in a spot where I think even if they do get better, you still don't have the components to take advantage of that.
Well, and because Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton are unproven commodities still at this point.
Agreed.
And so until they prove it, I can't believe it. Zach Martin falling off, even if it's slightly, is a huge ding to what you're trying to accomplish, and Terrence Steele just isn't any better right now. So it's all kind of on Tyler Smith, and if he does anything wrong, then you're just like, holy crap, we're all screwed.
From the 214, no one said McCarthy. I'm disappointed, guys. That, remember, that was the second one on the list, that the hot seat of Mike McCarthy.
And his hot seat.
Yeah,
it's
been there for some time. All right, you guys ready to power rank some NFL power rankings? Would you like NFL.com, The Athletic,
the NFL,
or ESPN? NFL?
Yeah, I'm not an Athletic supporter anymore. I don't pay for it.
I'm with Mike on that one.
Okay. Who is the worst team in all of football?
It's either Carolina or New England, right?
One of those is correct.
He said Carolina.
That is correct. Carolina, last on the list. New England, next to last on the list. Who would you put as third worst football team in the land?
The Giants. They're horrible.
I do agree, but they're only 26.
Yeah, I feel like they were like 25 or 26 last week.
Yeah, Jacksonville's moving up. They destroyed that England game.
Dolphins or Browns?
Oh, the Browns.
Browns.
Browns are number 30 on the list. The Dolphins are only 25, so
okay.
They're doing
have they
okay.
Have they fallen? Does it feel like they've been falling?
Yeah.
Like when Tua went down, that team changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Who is the best team in the NFL?
Cowboys. $10 billion.
If you go off of not financial value,
it shouldn't change.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
With an eye.
They're undefeated, Kevin.
Right now, Right now, if the Ravens and Chiefs played again, neutral site, not in the playoffs, though. Do you think the
you
Ravens?
You mean in the Super Bowl?
Not
in you the said neutral site. London.
You can't say that.
London.
Yes, what he said.
Oh, yeah, the big game.
Just,
my ruined, bad.
He just, we just got fined.
Yeah, my bad. The big game.
That's fine. You could say Super Bowl. It's not an ad.
In the big game in London.
I'll still take Kansas City
okay.
because somehow, some way, Patrick okay. Mahomes is going to win that game.
Yep. So they are number one.
And I think that the Chiefs are in the Ravens' head.
I could see that. That's very fair. Would you put Baltimore 2 or would you go a different direction?
Yeah, Baltimore.
I'd put Baltimore 2.
They're really good.
How would you go after that? So 1 and 2 is Kansas City and Baltimore.
Lions took over
that's,
the Vikings.
That's your team.
Like in Lions took it from the Vikings this
they
week.
They have the similar colors to the Cowboys. They play on Thanksgiving.
That Honolulu
you can,
blue.
You can go Lions.
I look, man, I've just been adamant that I think Dan Campbell's a good coach and Jared Goff
he's
is a
from
good
Glen
quarterback.
Rose.
And then now they got all the pieces together. So
remember when he wanted to be the Aggies head coach? Are
yes.
You, are you mad about that?
He wanted to be, but the first time, yes. The second time when they were like, what if we can lure him away from the Lions? I was like, that.
Too late.
And right now,
unlikely.
The way your team's looking, your defense is pretty good.
Hell yeah. The Lions are third, the Vikings are fourth, and the Bills are fifth to round out the top five. Where, oh where, do you put those Dallas Cowboys?
On a bye week.
I think they were 15 last week. 15, I don't even 16. Know if it was NFL. But I'll just say they stay the same. They didn't play.
That seems fair.
On ESPN, they are 15. Stayed the same. But that's not the one you chose. In The Athletic, there are 16. Stayed the same. On NFL.com.
Moving on up. Don't play.
The Dallas Cowboys are number 19 in the power rankings, just ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals and just behind the Indianapolis Colts.
That's very fair.
I think that's fair, too.
The way that they've looked.
You just wait till they play the 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
And for what?
If I told you I would give you Cowboys plus 11.5,
I'd take it.
Okay. What's your cutoff point?
Well, that I would take the Niners?
No, take the Cowboys.
Take the Well, I'm taking the Cowboys if you're giving me 11.5.
Okay.
The bet would be
what's your cutoff?
Because
the spread's like 5.5.
I would say if you get it to 7, I wouldn't want to bet it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you put it at 8. And I'm like, I'll split
yeah.
at 8.
Yeah.
You know, like I think the Cowboys could lose by a touchdown. I mean, I'm going to pick them to lose 27-6, but that's just my score pick. I don't think that's going to be right. I like betting wise, you got to take the numbers. Like,
sure.
You can't put me at plus 21. That'd be a stupid number.
Are y'all doing this?
No.
I
was
live on radio.
No, I was just curious. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Means Aubrey's having a game, man. You know what? 27-9. Aubrey kicks a 60-yard
head shave bet.
Three field goals. Coming up next, let's go across the NFC East. This is how you know. The Commanders are really on a roll. Let's do next right here on The Fan.
3rd and 9 for Carolina. Dalton on the move. He tried to throw it to his own man. He threw it to the other team. Intercepted by Fowler. And he's going to go. Touchdown, Commanders.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. Looking more and more like 1240 or 1 o'clock for Najee Marshall right now. Time to go across the NFC East. Always choose your own adventure Would you like to start with the Cowboys?
No.
The Commanders.
Heck yeah.
Okay. We just played the cut. Dante Fowler grabbed his first career pick six.
Yeah, former Cowboy. Congratulations, Dante.
Does that make it sting more when it is a former Cowboy?
Now, no, he doesn't fit our system.
I had a feeling something like that was going to be said. All right,
Jerry said almost none of the defenders fit our new defense.
Yes.
Which we knew that we were going to have a new defensive coordinator and who he was in February-ish, but we decided not to help out that new defensive coordinator with players that would fit his system well in March. Told him to deal with it, and now we're like, gosh, can you believe some of these defenders don't fit exactly what Zim wants to do?
The Washington Commanders have scored 20-plus points in each of their first seven games. That's the first time Washington has done that in 25 years.
All right, so they're back.
The whole time Daniel Snyder owned the team?
Pretty much. They're like, and then, look, this is how you know the new ownership group is rolling. Marcus Mariota took over in that game, and he was 18 of 23 for 205 yards and two touchdowns.
Heck yeah.
I will cede that that is better. It was also the Panthers.
Oh, my God. Panthers are the freaking worst.
I mean, you just went through the list. They're the worst team in the NFL. So.
I will be honest. I really want Washington to succeed over the next five or so years and make it at least to the NFC Championship game.
So we'll be the last one in the NFC.
And that the change in ownership really changed their franchise and just go, oh my gosh, for Cowboy fans, like just the blinking light of there's no way to get around it.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. By the way, just to throw this out there for the Panthers, just to really hammer home how terrible they are. The Panthers are the first team ever to trail by 20 or more points in four of their first seven games. Never happened in the history of the NFL. They're allowing 34.7 points per game, which would be the worst by a team since the 1966 Giants. So we're talking about 58 years. So they did one thing that's on pace to be the worst in 58 years. They did another thing that is literally the worst in the history of football.
That's impressive.
And they can't blame Bryce Young.
That is true.
So here's the thing. I do a lot of times go coach's first year, give him a little break, but Dan Quinn's doing what Dan Quinn's doing. I don't know that I thought Danny Canales was the answer to anybody's prayers, but he got Baker Mayfield to look good. Baker Mayfield's still good. Danny Canales done after 1 year, or does he get time to build? And they go, you know what? We've turned over our coaches too much. But then you're looking at it going, this is historically bad.
I mean, it's tough to argue.
They traded for a quarterback who doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. Yeah. They traded multiple firsts. They traded seconds. They said, this franchise is going to be changed by Bryce Young and somewhat Bryce Young alone when you do trades like that. They were wrong. At least we don't know for long term, but it looks like they are. And that hurts so much that they are 2 years away from digging out of the grave that they dug.
Now, yeah, I have
that sentence ended bad. I'm sorry.
I have one more note for you that is concerning when it comes to the Commanders. About a month ago, we talked about, is their defense a potential fatal flaw? This past Sunday's game was the third time in 4 weeks in which the Commanders have given up 14 points or fewer and won handily. It was also the fourth straight game in which Washington forced at least one turnover.
Hey, it was the Panthers. You got to expect. Oh, hold on. That was a good stat for the Washingtons.
Yes.
Dez Bryant just tweeted that you should have paid Quinn. So.
Paid him?
Huh.
To keep him around.
I don't know if he totally understands what happened in that situation, but okay. All right. Would you like to go with the Eagles, the Giants?
Made him the head coach.
The Cowboys.
Which one starts with an E?
All right. A. I got it. That's enough.
Sports.
It's in the game. Saquon Barkley. He finished the game against the Giants with a season high 176 yards rushing on 17 carries. He ripped off three runs of 35 yards or more in the same game. That hasn't been done in 6 years.
And then he was like, he could have broken the record.
But he wanted the young people to play.
Nah, let the other guys get some. Let them eat too.
All right.
Is that an ultimate team, or is he just like, I'm tired, I'm ready, I just want to relax?
I think that's some
team guy.
Sweet teamwork right there. Yeah. Are we seeing, or are you, I'm not seeing, are you enjoying the Saquon renaissance, the Saquonessence, or are you like,
I still think he's going to get hurt.
Okay.
It's still early in the year.
Okay.
I agree with Mike, but I also am looking at it as like, again, as we brought up earlier, it's kind of like the Christian McCaffrey addition to the Niners. Did it give them that kind of, they're that much better of a team when all their pieces are together and healthy. All the receivers are out there healthy and Saquon's on the field. They look like a better team.
Yeah.
And that part of your game gives you balance, but it also gives you strength in two different areas, which helps you balance out. The Cowboys, like their balance is out of balance right now.
That is true. And unfortunately, I have another positive defensive statistic for you for the Eagles, just like it did with the Commanders. Philadelphia entered the weekend's game against the Giants with 11 sacks total in 5 games. In this game, they got 8 quarterback sacks, including 7 on Daniel Jones, who once again, much like Carolina, I will concede, is not a good team, but that is still pretty darn impressive.
They're getting a lot of pressure, and that's a positive that I'm a little concerned about right now.
You ready to go to the Cowboys, or do you want to go with the Giants?
Cowboys are in third. They are.
No, you're right. That sigh is not at you.
They're better than the Giants.
The sigh was dreading to have to throw out this statistic. Although I can't imagine you're going to be surprised
by
this.
You are in charge of your mouth. You can say things or not say things.
I've never thought of being in charge of my mouth.
Yep.
But you kind of are.
Yeah, nobody can make you say something.
All right, fair. I apologize for my mouth when I tell you this. The Cowboys are in the bottom third of the NFL. Bottom third in red zone offense and red zone defense.
Okay.
And rushing offense.
Okay. All right, good.
Yards allowed per play. And
stop saying and.
Giveaways.
Use also instead.
Also takeaways. God. The good news is that's the end of it. But like, what a disastrous combination that is. Hey, are you good at red zone offense? Nope. Bottom third. 37% conversion rate for touchdowns. Oh, well, how good is your red zone defense? We give up touchdowns 74% of the time.
Okay, you know what, Kevin? Here's my new thought on this. All right. Mm-hmm. Mike said the other day, hey, let's give this Mavericks offense about 10 games at least before we say Clay's the worst.
I'm not going to say that, but I'm telling the people that are already mad at Clay
and
for preseason.
A lot of times we say 25 games just to see if something works out, right? With this Cowboys team, the first 6 games, like, wasn't that a good opportunity to see what you actually are and correct the things we've done is ordered the appetizer,
and it's come out. We haven't even got the meat yet.
Your appetizers go exactly against what you ordered.
You only had 3 bad appetizers.
I don't know food combinations that go against one another.
So we got sushi, and we're ordering some chicken fried steak later.
And the pretzel bites.
Yeah, it felt like your main entree is gum, and you chewed on tinfoil to start this whole thing.
So that doesn't mean that the rest of the meal can't be good.
I've never seen gum on a menu before. What restaurant are you going to?
Dude, imagine Chili's. Going to a gum restaurant, and they're just like, yes, all these different flavors. This is genius.
But it would say gum with like a line over the U, right? It would be like, welcome to Google.
I mean, I feel like you have a good idea, but isn't that like Walgreens and CVS?
That's a fair point.
I feel like they have all the flavors.
Yeah, but if you dress it up. I don't know if we can beat
them. They also have like a pharmacy and toilet paper.
Hey, I didn't say we don't have work to go.
This is your garden to your mouth gum.
True.
Tastes like juicy fruit, smells like fruit punch.
But just now that you're prepared,
the gun garden.
Yeah.
All of these stats work against each other in the exact same like areas of the game, and that's why it's concerning. We're terrible at rush offense, but we also give up a lot of plays on a lot of yards per play on defense.
All right.
We're in the bottom third in giveaways, but we're also in the bottom third in takeaways. So we give the ball away a lot. We don't get it back a lot.
That's all luck.
What's your point?
My point is, six statistics,
we're 3-3,
are a really good indication of why you have not had a better season.
Are you trying to suggest that our offseason moves are a reason that those statistics are the way that they are?
You stir it up, you mix up the positive with the negative, and you're 500.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
If you finish cooking 500, then you missed a game.
We're just hoping the positive aromas arise from the cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
And that the negatives end up going away. Add a little extra salt.
We raise our goblet of rock and have a good night.
What? Do you guys want to talk more about this, I guess, or go to the Giants?
We're just trying to be positive. Yeah. I think this is what I'm trying to get out of this.
If we're
Mike
three
and I
witches
are,
mixing up a potion, you're the one trying to put in the raw onions.
What the hell does that mean?
I get it.
Do you like Do you like raw onions?
I don't.
You'd say they're a negative.
Okay, but I'm not going to... I don't want to have a witch's potion either. Never mind.
Hey, Mike, I'm bringing a roast. I'm putting that in there.
I'll tell you what.
Why'd I fall for this every time?
I'm writing this down.
Please don't.
Mike likes it. Pot roast.
Pot roast is really good.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk about it in 5.
I really hope Najee Marshall calls in instead. All right, you ready to talk about the Giants?
Heck yeah, man. They've won 2.
You know, Kevin, a moment ago,
they scored 3.
When I was talking about the pressure and the Eagles, I was thinking about the Giants too. And the Giants have been very good at getting
Mark
pressure.
Mark Bavara is rolling over in his grave.
That's about the best thing they've done so far.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
I would say he can
in the span of 2 minutes, you've like, it doesn't matter if someone's dead. What? Let's make a witch's brew.
Matter. When somebody's rolling over in their grave, they're still alive. You should dig them up and get them out of there.
That's a good point.
So if they're not rolling over in their grave, keep them in there.
Mark
they're
Bavara
dead.
Is still alive.
I know. So I'm saying he pointed this out to me, and then I just logically thought about it. If somebody's rolling over in their grave, get them out of the grave as fast as you can. They're alive.
From the 682, I'm so lost. Agreed. All right. For the Giants, did you know... I did not know this was a thing. Did you know that Dexter Lawrence's nickname is Sexy Dexy?
I did not.
Because why?
Maybe it's because he's attractive. Maybe it's because he got paid $87.5 million. I'll let you decide.
Being rich is sexy.
He had 5 tackles in this game, all solos, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, and 2 tackles for a loss. So he continues to thrive while the team is clearly not good. And let's talk more about why that is. Daniel Jones got benched in that game by your guy, Brian Daboll. He said Daniel Jones is still the quarterback. Daniel Jones said it was frustrating, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal. Daniel Jones had completed 14 of his 21 passes in that game for 99 yards.
Only 7 incompletions?
Freaking bum.
Yeah. He was also sacked 7 times for a loss of 56 yards.
Ouch.
And then there's this.
Doesn't sound too bad if you're playing high school football in the 90s.
All right. I was going to say, if you needed a worse statistic, surely I can provide that. Daniel Jones has lost 6 consecutive home starts dating back to last year. He's 1 shy of tying the record. And you might be like, okay, well, that's a positive. Except, of course, that the record is also held by Daniel Jones.
Oh.
In 2019 to 2020, Daniel Jones lost 7 straight home games. He is now 1 home loss away from matching his own record.
But when was the last time he threw a touchdown?
Now.
You're saying 6?
That's 6. That's a great question, Corey. Daniel Jones is the only quarterback since at least 1950. And then they just gave up looking. They're like, I'm tired. The people at Elias, I assume, to lose 6 consecutive home games and not throw a single touchdown in that stretch.
Oh, that's even before the merger.
That is true.
Wow.
But Daniel Jones is the absolute just worst at this.
That's true.
How about this? I'm going to throw this out.
Drew Luck?
No, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
You're talking about 0-6 at home. The Cowboys' next home game is against the Eagles. I do think the Cowboys are going to win that game because they play good against the Eagles at home. Then the next one's at home against the Texans. If they were to lose to the Eagles and then lose to the Texans, those are not pushover games. They would be 0-5 at home. But then Thanksgiving, they get the Daniel Jones Giants.
Hell yeah.
So could Daniel Jones win put that six on the Cowboys?
And then Lainey Wilson singing Heart Like a Truck.
Points. I'm talking about points. Oh. Could he
She's doing that. Yeah, that's her, and she's doing the halftime show.
The Heart of the Truck Lady?
Yeah.
I'm in.
I know you are.
Get me tickets. Yeah. I only want halftime tickets.
Do they do that?
I don't know.
You only get halftime tickets, and you get to be on the field for the halftime show, and then
and you know
leave.
What? At that point, we'll have the daylight savings. The sun have already is set, so I could see what's happening on the field if I have the bad seats, the sun seats.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I got a heart like a truck. You can hear that live Thanksgiving on 105.3 The Fan.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here.
I'm a platinum Chevy guy, heartbeat of America.
That's right. Yeah. Right
I
here.
I didn't say what kind of truck. Oh, okay. That song doesn't say I have a heart like a whatever truck you're supporting.
Could you not think of any kind of truck?
I don't know. I
Chevy.
Didn't
want to. We've heard this commercials
that's a Dodge
for years.
Commercial, I think.
It's a Dodge?
Yeah, I think it's a Dodge.
And they almost go over the cliff. The Dodges almost commit, you know.
To going over to the
but
cliff.
But they stop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
You don't seem like you're doing well, man.
Well, I don't have anywhere to pivot because now it's time for Mike Likes It.
Sounds like
and I can just really hope that Najee Marshall comes.
Does it sound like he wants basketball talk because he talks about pivot? Remember, you have two pivot foots now in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There used to just be one. They've changed it to two. All right. So we're going back to Italy. I forgot about this until somebody brought this up to me today. And I wanted to talk to Corey about moving to Italy.
All right. Look, man, Italy sounds awesome.
I support this move.
All right. You going too?
Nope.
Corey, here's the deal.
You still have to do the show with
When I was in Italy, do you know what they eat for breakfast?
Spaghetti.
That's later.
All right.
They don't wake up that early. So here's the deal. We can sleep in.
Oh, cold pizza.
They serve, they might, but I think that's just at home.
All right.
They serve croissants.
Ooh.
I saw
see where this is going.
Everywhere
They're
in
good.
Italy. You're in Tuscany. You're in Rome. Give me a croissant with a coffee. They have different kinds of coffees like espresso and stuff like that, but we'll figure out the coffee thing. That's easy. We just ask somebody to run that.
Yeah, it makes them espresso.
They don't have cronuts. We could dominate the country of Italy. We go over there,
man.
And we show them what a cronut is.
Yeah.
They will lose it.
Yeah.
They won't know what to do. We've taken now American,
mm-hmm.
brought it over to Italy, kept Italy in there.
Yeah.
With the croissant.
Yep.
I almost said cronut.
Yeah. We still got you, Italy.
We cronut them to death. They don't even know what's happening. We take all the croissants and put them out of business because they're like, these Americans have come over and they have made the cronut. Now, we don't even actually know how to make one.
Nope.
So we're going to have to hire
the lady from Morning Donuts.
Is that your one in Plano?
Yep, that's the one I'll ask her to go.
I need her to get with the person who's making the cronuts for Dan, who we're going to see Friday Grand Prairie at Buffalo Wild Wings.
You know we're on the air right now, right?
He has the best. He brings the best cronuts.
He's suggesting everybody go to Buffalo Wild Wings and see our total
Dan.
Yeah,
I just told you. I'm just cross-promoting. I think that's called cross-promoting. And guess
Friday,
what? G-Bag
Grand Prairie.
Nation's going to be there, too, with Whataburger flags that say G-Bag on them, I think.
Yeah. They're right there. It says G-Bag Nation right there on the wall.
Told you, it has both. It has the Whataburger logo and G-Bag Nation. It even tells you what time they do the show at.
Afternoons, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah, unless the Rangers are playing, then their times change. Okay, so I'm just saying, when we were thinking about what would we do in Italy if we lived there, I thought, cronuts! So if you want to move to Italy and you do make cronuts.
That's what you thought while you were in Italy on vacation 100%, with your wife?
Because my wife wants to move there. I'm not so keen on moving to Italy. But
you can move to Italy. They'll pay you like $5.
I don't know how to make olive oil or wine. I can maybe figure it out over years of studying with them. I don't even know how to make a cronut yet, but I feel like I have a better chance of figuring out how to make a cronut than I do at making a good vino.
We just glaze the heck out of it, dude. And that means, by the
they
way,
they don't even have, as far as I saw, they don't even, well, they just don't have American donuts. They do have some donuts.
What does that mean?
Just like your pure glazed donut. Okay. They kind of more sugar it up, like your sugared donuts.
Okay.
You know, like crystal.
Oh, the
sparkly.
Yeah.
You know, and they put chocolate on top of bread, but it's more bread than it is donut.
Okay.
All right. Mike likes it. Number one, figured out how to dominate Italy. Done. Number two, pot roast.
Pot roast is really good.
Pot roast is great.
Yes.
We made pot roast at some point since I've been home. Okay. I can't remember what days are. Last night I made steaks. Filet mignons. Okay. I just want to tell you something. I'm just giving, this is really not a secret. Nothing against these other places that I'm about to name. Costco has the best meat.
Okay. I agree. The meat from Costco is delicious.
If you get like the roast, the pot roast from Costco, it's going to taste better than like normal grocery stores.
Is it premium? Is it?
I don't know. It's very comparable Prime. To Kroger, Albertsons, Tom Thumb. I'm not trying to take any shots at any of them, like specific shots. I'm just saying Costco has better meat. I don't know where the normal grocery store in our metroplexes are getting their meats from, but Costco's getting better meat. And last night I cooked filet mignons. They are so good from Costco. They made me look like a superstar.
Nice. Did it have the bacon wrapped around it?
Nope.
It's just a filet.
Just a nice red filet. And I mean, my wife likes it super rare. So I can do that with theirs. I can't do that with other people's meat. I will tell you this. If you go to a real butcher, like you go to a, but they're going to cost a lot more. We have one of those in our neighborhood. I know we don't have an HEB. But we do have a butcher who, like, they have their own meat there. It's very special meat. It's good meat. It might be the best meat. That's my Donald Trump for a second. But I will say that their meat costs a lot more.
By the way, everybody is texting in and saying that HEB is the best.
I don't know. I have to drive a country mile to go there.
You think everything is a country mile. If you have to drive more than
Waxahachie's a long way okay. from Oak Cliff.
But if you have to drive like 15 or 20 minutes, I feel like you're like, oh, I'm not going all the way out there.
That's my preference. Okay.
From the 806, spoken like a peasant that doesn't have an HEB nearby.
Man.
Oh, I know. And HEB now uses their brisket and their queso and everything.
I feel
it looks
like
great.
We have two in Plano.
You do have two HEBs? You no, probably do. There's a lot of people. And remember, what's the saying of the bad Plano?
I don't
It's still Plano. That's their marketing. It's still Plano.
You live in a very nice house, Mike. I don't understand.
Even if you're in the bad part, you're still in Plano at least.
Yeah. Is there a saying that says you're still in Oak Cliff? It's still Oak Cliff. Probably not in a positive way. Even though their football team's really good.
They are. They're very good. I'm proud of
not
that.
Not as good as Duncanville. Okay. So now.
This is all one segment. This is the longest segment of my life.
Well, my next one was, and I don't think, who are you voting for?
Shut up, Mike.
I was talking about the World Series.
Oh, okay.
We can do that.
Dodgers.
Actually wasn't. I was just goofing with you to really put pressure on you and see if you'd sweat a little bit. All right. When it comes to basketball tonight, do you think Bronny James plays?
Yes. Actually, word is, watch out for the second quarter. That's when it's going to happen.
This is like we don't care about winning, right? We're just trying to put this. We're just trying to put him in a game.
You know, that's an interesting point because I think it's Windhorse who is like, depending on how the game goes. And I was like, well, what is going to happen in the first quarter that is so dramatically one way or another?
They're losing really bad.
Okay.
Or they're winning really bad.
And I still think they're going to put him in that scenario. It sounds like, by the way, I don't know if you'll like this or not. At least Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be at the game tonight as well. So I wonder if there's even going to be like a little stop down and everything. I don't know, but I think it's going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That seems like it really disappoints you.
it's just a joke. Like, this is a, this is, this isn't, it's real, but it's not real. This didn't happen based on Bronny earning anything. It's all, to me, it's all fake. Why doesn't, you know, and you have to get somebody who's a lot older, just get an old player and put his kid out there too and be like, my kid played in the NBA too.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just all do it. I guess your older players would be Kevin Durant. I don't know if Udonis Haslem has a son. Just throw Udonis Haslem's son in a game
right.
too.
He's old.
Like, that's the thing. Now, I will say this. This is interesting. Tonight, Celtics host the Knicks. Lakers host the Timberwolves. These games are on TNT. The NBA is back tonight. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to tune in because my son is, they're playing their black, white Bishop Lynch, like last fall ball game of the year, and I'll be like announcing some of it.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun. I'm going to be talking trash on there too.
About your kid?
Everybody out there.
Good.
Like, you know, like if it's 0-2 and the kid took the first two pitches, I might say, hey, you might want to think about swinging the bat.
See, I envision you being like, wow. Look at Jake out there. He can get a hit on a curveball, but he can't clean up his room. Like, that is what I kind of anticipated.
No, I might say, hey, why don't you challenge him with a fastball here? You know, stuff like that. So I'm going to have fun doing that. But Celtics are hosting the Knicks. The Lakers are hosting the Timberwolves. You just brought up, we're going to have this historic event. The next Ken Griffey Jr., who averaged 5 points and one rebound as a freshman in college, is just like Ken Griffey Jr. How much do you think the cheapest ticket is right now to watch the Celtics? They get there. It's all the ring ceremony. It's taking on the Knicks, their rival. And then the Lakers with the Bronny James moment where he plays fake minutes in the NBA.
250.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
250 for the Lakers. And how much for the Celtics?
300.
It is right now the before taxes and fees, which crush you. $323. To get into the Celtics game right now.
Wow.
For ring ceremony, first game of the year. For the Lakers, I was surprised at this. $101.
Really?
It's still, after fees, you're going to pay about $160. But
still cheaper than I would have guessed.
Yes, cheaper than I thought, too. And then the Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards. So I will say this. I don't think the Lakers fans see this as that special.
Interesting. That is very interesting.
So as much as LeBron is faking this thing.
If he would have been like a lifelong Laker, then do you think it, same scenario otherwise, do you think this would have been a huge deal?
I think it'd be a huge deal if Bronny James was a real basketball player.
Yeah.
He should be in college and he should be starting for USC or whatever school he transferred to because they gave him more money. But he should be playing. That's all he is a college basketball player. He's not close to the NBA. There's 100 guys not in the NBA that are better than Bronny James right now. And he's going to, I mean, if he gets to play in the second quarter, good for him that his dad was able to manipulate him actually even playing NBA minutes. But I think it's a joke. And I think that if you look at the ticket prices, this is not seen as a special thing in LA. I think they're actually like, oh my God, can we just get this over with?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Do they have to do this every game? Do they have to put in a guy who's the 1,000th best player in the world at best? Do they have to put him in every Laker game? For Bron? For LeBron?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
If he's my kid, I want him to earn that. You know, I mean, I want the moment to be able to be on the court with him. I get it, but I also want him to earn that right to be standing next to the other guys.
It's interesting when you listen to it. This is just the way I've interpreted it. But when LeBron says, like, block out the haters and everything, I think he is of the belief that Bronny has earned this, like, fair and square. I'm not saying that that is accurate. And in fact, we just talked about it. I think he could have earned it eventually.
We're all proud of our kids.
Yeah.
Like, I'm proud of Carter for getting out on the football field. And, that Carter. I'm proud of Avery for his grades and his music that he's doing. I'm really proud of it. But do I go, man, Avery belongs next to Diplo right now? No, I don't, not yet. He's got a lot of work to do. And whenever he earns it, though, he can stand up there proudly next to him. Off you.
It'll be interesting if this carries on how, I don't know, I'm just looking at people on their team. If they're sitting the bench.
Yeah.
While Bronny is getting 12 minutes a night.